This is RSVMB Update episode 305 for Friday, April 22nd, 2011. Her Majesty approves.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for coming back for another episode of RSVMB Update. Hoping that the King Kulla and Jeremy didn't scare you guys away last week. So, in the event that that did happen, you're just giving us another chance. We got Chief Snake back this week.
Woo! That's always a good thing.
Yeah, so he's just going to share some of his insights with us on things, you know, like the Easter update and just how this is a religious holiday, and you know he is not religious, so he's going to tell us what.
Eh? Pagan Easter. It's a pagan.
What's thingy. A pagan?
What? Shane, you're supposed to be the expert on this stuff.
No.
I probably couldn't even explain it to you if I wanted to, but common knowledge. It's
okay,
pagan.
Well,
it's not Christian. The Christians stole it.
Oh, I see.
Not that that has anything to do with. You know, what
we're
about to talk
this?
About on this. Shane, come on, not. Let me Wikipedia it for you, because Wikipedia is the source of all knowledge.
Yeah, that's right.
Easter. It'll say it somewhere. Hang on. Control F, pagan. Da-da-da, paganism. Well, it does say pagan. Christian denominations and organizations that do not observe Easter.
Okay.
Along with Christmas celebrations, Easter traditions were among the first casualties of some areas of the Protestant Reformation being deemed pagan by some Reformation leaders. Okay, that doesn't actually explain anything.
No, it doesn't, but I think that's enough of a theology lesson.
That is way too much, yeah. Well, you asked about it.
And I got an answer, so that counts. So this week isn't specifically related to Easter. You know, you're not hunting around looking for the bunnies, rabbits, or starting the egg-making machine or something like that again. No, no, no. They've become more PC on this.
That's very good. Finally.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know,
I was getting sick of little rabbits.
You don't like rabbits?
Transmogrification. I like rabbits, but you know when you see them every year, and it's just the same event.
Yeah, that's true. So, rather than naming this Easter specifically, they're kind of aiming it as a transition between the winter and the summer. Hence the two parts of this to the update called Holly and Hawthorn. Holly, of course, being well, you know, winter, Hawthorn. Moving forward into spring. So the whole idea of this thing is to convince Holly that we have moved on and that spring has sprung and it's time for all the Christmas characters, including Jack Frost, the Snow Queen and the Snowman, to go back to where they belong until that season comes around next time. So that's the whole objective of this. And then on the spring side, you got the Easter Bunny. And,
oh, right. So they still exist. Yeah.
Yeah, the Easter Bunny still
exists.
But it's not specifically Easter as expect. So
good.
I forget what the other woman's name is. Oh, Queen of Sunrise. There you go. So Queen of Snow and Queen of Sunrise.
That's
so
good,
and then
because I wouldn't have been able to help you out there.
Yeah, well. Basically, the whole idea is that you just go to this area and you have to prove, you have to go to get the different parts to get the true year. So the year gets passed to the queens throughout. It's this little kind of scepter kind of thingamabob, I guess you could say. And what happens is that the Snow Queen has substituted it for a fake one so that it won't work and the season won't change. So... You find the different pieces of it scattered throughout this area, put them together and bring it back, and that side of it is done. then the other side involves killing an evil tree and proving that you killed an evil tree is it Holly or Hawthorne? I forget which one. But in any case, that's pretty much all there is to it. And once you do this, it will be done. And the only reward you really get from this is an emote and the two tiara things. And those actually end up acting as a hint to the location of the evil tree, you know, those evil trees that are throughout the regular world. So, and it's the same thing you could do on the spirit tree.
Wait, do the free players have evil trees as well?
No, they do not.
Oh, then what?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
They just get the little device.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's neat in that case.
And you also get the spring emote and all the other Easter emotes will unlock. So if you missed last year's Easter event,
now's
a good time to go get the other Easter emotes.
I could just not do this one.
I kind of wish they wouldn't do that. So people like you and everybody would be
in a way
would be enticed to go and do this. But you know, it's Jagex. They're becoming, I guess, more and more socialist all the time in that respect. if I had to equate it to something, making equal opportunities and whatnot for everybody, and encouraging everybody to be all they can be, and all that other good stuff. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, actually. That's just a little bit of a teaser. Yes.
Must we talk more about that? All right.
Yeah, it involves getting level 99s.
Oh. Right.
Yeah. So, aside from this, there's, you know, there's really not that much to this. So, except that when you use this...
Well, that's good. For me. For someone who can't really be bothered with updates. Just go through them really quickly.
You can get these charges on them as well. And, you know, I'm not sure what the charges do. It didn't say anything about that. I'm thinking the charges teleport you over to the evil tree. So, you know, if you're evil tree hunting, you might as well. But is it something you want to do? Go fight evil trees? I don't know. What do you think? Have you ever
isn't that a little bit of a an unfair advantage for the people who have done this event? I mean, if you were interested in evil tree hunting, which I doubt many people are, but yeah.
Yeah, it is, because when you do this, it's kind of the same thing as the Hattie Paws, you know, except for evil trees. So is
which are going to run out on me.
Well, you have until May 10th.
I'm May 10th.
Okay. Yeah, we'll forget that idea then. But don't feel so bad. I haven't even used mine yet.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I suppose.
And it actually works on magic spells like high-level alchemy. So even though you use melee combat to get this thing, you don't have to use them in melee combat. So if you're looking for a boost on the magic XP, you might as well go with that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. If only I could be bothered.
Yeah, but you know, I feel this way with all the holiday events. It's like they're just too plain and not interesting enough to generate a hype. Like, I forget when you were saying this, but you missed Christmas 2005. And that was the best holiday event ever. And they've been slowly going downhill from there. Maybe a few in 2006 were okay, but 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 so far aren't really that great. So.
I don't know. Are they actually decreasing in value? I mean, I think it's probably more the fact that we were more interested in RuneScape back then. And it was the cool thing. And whereas nowadays, at least for me especially, you know, it's more of a chore to do, and you only do it because you need to keep up with what they're churning out, all these holiday items and things.
It certainly does feel like that at sometimes, you know? Like, I don't know if that just comes with age, or if we're just not appreciating what JX has put out, or if it's going downhill. I don't know. But
It is just also just a matter of being really into it at the time.
Yeah, that too. For one of the parts of this, you have to make an ice sculpture to convince the Snow Queen that spring is okay, and you can choose between a stag, cute baby animals, the Easter Bunny bringing eggs, or cute baby animals being impaled on swords, and it doesn't matter which one you pick.
Yeah, see, an ice sculpture, actually, that doesn't really grab me as being something Easter-related at all, even if it is, you know, something Easter-related that you're making.
Part of the quest or something, right?
Yeah.
But the emote is pretty nice.
Oh, that's good.
It converts the area around you to spring, including the ground, and you get a nice little sunbeam effect on there. So.
Oh, okay. See, I thought by spring it would be just like turning yourself into a coil, and then you would spring.
Springy spring.
That would be interesting. I don't know if you could do that though.
Easier to animate and probably cooler.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've already got a spring emote. That's our farming cape.
That's right. Oh, God. Jeez. Oh, this emote looks better than the farming cape.
What?
Well,
bastards.
Yeah, if you compare the two things, it's like something coming to life. Shouldn't that be farming? Shouldn't that be farming?
Well, I did tell you, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen it. Oh. Maybe I should look this up now.
No, you go do it. You go do it.
No, I don't want to do it. Well, I'll do it eventually. But.
And the effects do remain until May 31st.
Spring? Looks like it.
Yes.
Here we go. A player using the Invoke Spring emote. Oh, wow. Light shining from the sky. And a little circle of flowers appears around him, and then he strokes the flowers. Actually, no, I kind of prefer the farming emote.
Okay.
The spring one is really slow and boring. Yeah, and he's not really... I mean, he's literally just like stroking the flowers. That's a bit creepy.
I was going to say something else about stroking flowers, but that's okay. We'll just go with creepy then.
Very creepy. What, stroking flowers?
Yeah.
What? You mean you don't stroke your flowers, Shane?
No, I don't.
How else are they going to grow with love and...
I talk to them.
Just a British accent then, but...
I talk to them.
Oh, okay. I talk to my flowers too?
Yeah, if you talk to your farming crops, they grow more yields.
That's right. You know, they're living things. Well, maybe not in RuneScape, but...
Close enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, May 31st, you have to use your charges to go locate fully grown evil trees. So if you're an evil tree hunter, go right on ahead and enjoy this.
Nice.
And that's pretty much all.
So it's not really as unfair a thing if it goes until May 31st. Yeah, I see. Oh, sorry. Right, I understand. It's like the Haiti pause. We can move on now.
Okay. I'm glad we can.
Yep.
Tweaks and fixes for this week. The royal wedding souvenirs have appeared, including a souvenir mug, firecrackers, confetti, and fireworks.
A souvenir mug. That's really odd.
Yeah, it's this little mug you can buy, and the only option is to polish it, and you polish it and then hold it up in the air, and it kind of sparkles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, and cool. The bubble blower. That's fun. You get a bubble blower, and then you run around, and you make bubbles behind you.
Have you ever done that in real life?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay, what about with like those, I don't know if you would have them there, but we used to always go to this place, well not always, but on school trips and things, and they would entertain the kids at the end of the trip. It's like this nature bushwalk thing, Yeah, I don't know. It was a school thing we went on all the time for some strange reason. You know, boring place we lived in, clearly. And they used to always have these big bubble-blowing apparatus things, which you would kind of hold in the air and wave about. It was, you can imagine swinging a lightsaber, and that would be the size of the bubble, and that would be kind of the action that you'd use.
No, nothing that big.
It was cool. I wouldn't do that again.
I've seen bubbles made with a hula hoop before.
I want to relive my childhood. Made with what?
Hula hoops.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you encase the person with it, and then see if you can get the person to stay in a bubble.
Mythbusters?
No.
Oh.
Some TV show back in the day. So.
Oh, well, this was real life.
Yeah, so but, confetti.
Anyway.
Confetti's also good. You ever play with that?
Not really. But
I always used to get confetti in my birthday cards. And, you know, you could tell if there was a birthday card that had confetti in it by how fat the envelope was. And you need to take extra care opening it after the first year that it goes all over the place.
That's really weird. So. No one sort of does that here. Confetti.
Well, you know what to expect cards. If I ever give you a birthday card then.
Cool. Confetti is basically just a wedding thing.
What about firecrackers?
Oh, and those too, I suppose.
What about
fireworks? Firecrackers? You don't get confetti in fireworks.
Okay.
That would
basically
kind of be dangerous,
with the firecrackers and fireworks, they say you can't light them inside, which of course makes sense, you know?
Yes.
But the fireworks are the same fireworks that appear over your head when you get a level, so they're really not that interesting.
But deceptive, though?
What do you mean, deceptive? No, because they're right in front of you and they're lower, about chest level.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, that doesn't really make sense. Why couldn't we have fireworks, you know, that shoot up in the air and... You know?
Yeah. That's true.
I don't know.
Maybe
personally,
they could have
given
us sparklers instead.
Oh, like that might have been interesting. Like, you run around with those in your hand.
Might have looked too similar to magic wands.
Get that technique down, because, you know, the metal rod
technique.
Gets too hot.
No, it isn't, is it?
Sparklers.
It doesn't really get too hot.
Okay.
Maybe you had budget sparklers.
Maybe.
No, I don't know.
But anyways, all these items are available from Diango in Draenor Village, so if you're in the celebratory mood, please do go pick some of those up. So,
I might do that.
Update from the Livid Farm, the reward cost of everything has been reduced by roughly 20%.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's good. You know, we were talking about this, and, you know, that makes sense. So,
yep.
That's good. And players who did spend the money beforehand will receive a refund to put towards any spells they have not unlocked yet.
Naturally.
So that's good of Jagex, but that's more socialism, isn't it? Because they didn't used to do that kind of thing before, if you were just out of the loop and did not get it. Right?
Well, they have done things like that in the past, haven't they? I can't think off the top of my head with what, but I know they would have.
Converting Rune Essence into Pure Essence when that came out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That could be.
True. Because all your current Rune Essence became Pure Essence, didn't it?
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
The sound effects of the majority of the NPCs in the free area of the game have been updated, as well as a handful in members' areas. Skeletons, goblins, ghosts, dogs, dragons, lesser and greater demons, and black demons. Yeah, you know, I've always thought that the greater, lesser, and black demons needed a sound, because those, even in an HD mode, those sounded very original RS2 kind of graphics, you know?
Basic. Like those grunts.
Yeah.
Or something like that. That's probably a very poor example. And I have a cold at the moment, so forgive me.
Well, I think that helped, if anything.
Not quite like that, but you get the idea.
That sounds like choking or something.
I was kind of choking then, yeah. But It's all right.
Okay. Alter the way raided clan wars kills are tallied so that one clan can't repeatedly kill the lowest member of another clan to get kill counts. So they just...
Good.
It's worth every subsequent kill of a clanmate will count as less than one kill, so that's good. And the graphic update to mining rocks in the Lumbridge Swamp has been applied to the rest of RuneScape. So they've changed rocks yet again. They removed the prospect option.
Again?
Yeah, again.
Well, then what were they at Lumbridge? I hadn't seen the newest ones.
I don't know. They look more stubby. They look more real, I think. Because no longer says prospect. So you have to slowly tell based on the color what's in the thing. So
that's kind of good, actually. I mean, it never really needed a prospect option, but...
Yeah, you know, it's just like with the trees, you know. This also helped the bots, but looking back, the last bot anti-bot update, the woodcutting bots are back, and the rune essence ones are as well. So it's only going to be a matter of time before it's worked around here.
Yeah,
which is too bad.
It must just be a matter of rejigging the items, objects, whatever they are.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I personally think it's a losing battle on their front in terms of this, because you can only make so many changes like this quick enough to keep up with against the bots, you know?
I mean, I don't think that's not what it's for, exactly. I mean, they will have other methods of combating bots. I mean, this is just a graphical update.
I hope it so. Would have just...
Yeah, well, you would.
We should all hope so, you know?
Mm. But no, I think they're doing what they can in the other department.
Alrighty. This rounds off the month for major updates now. Items kept on death changes. So basically, if you're not in the wilderness or in a PvP area, you'll be presented with a little screen in which you select which items you want to keep. Three items or your four if you have the protect item on. And you will also be able to keep your spawn point or choose your spawn point between ones that you've unlocked.
You can select which ones you want to keep now?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh my god, it only took them 10 years? What the hell?
But in areas like the wilderness, it's not effective.
Oh, alright. Yeah, yeah.
So, then if you've done all the quests like Recruitment Drive, King's Ransom, and Nomads, you can choose between Falador, Camelot, and Soul Wars, of course. They've also added the option to choose the last hub you pass through, and they say hubs include Ardoyan, Canifis, Edgeville, etc., Tazar, and Varrock.
Oh, interesting.
So if you do that, you will end up there, and you'll remember the last three you passed through, so that's kind of good, I guess. And possibly more added in the future.
I kind of don't understand this. Why just add it now? I mean, this is something that they could have implemented a long, long time ago if they felt that it was necessary. I mean, it's kind of like this update in particular is one of the obvious ones where they're just trying to appease the players and the game just gets easier as a result of it. Whether or not a good thing, I'm not sure, because, you know, we all like the game to be challenging, but at the same time, it does need to be enjoyable, so it's just finding that balance. I mean, what do you think of this? Do you think it's a good thing?
Oh, you know, I see what you mean about what took them so long. Like, this seems so obvious now that it's here, but is it a good thing in terms of the game and how things were in the past? I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
This could have saved me. Like, this could have saved me a blue mask like twice.
Well, yeah. Like, does it make sense that you should be able to choose which items you want to keep now, but you couldn't in the past?
Yeah.
That used to be something that was part of the game and calculating the risk of wherever you'd go.
And
now there's no point in risking
exactly
whatever you want to if you go on a Slayer task, for example, right?
Yeah.
And there's a risk of dying. So. Yeah. you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if this is a good thing or a bad thing. But let's read on and say that some items do not count towards your protected items. Basic tools, coins, costumes, and quest-specific items, but not including reward weapons and low-level equipment. Those will always stick with you.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting to see what effect it has on the Grand Exchange, actually.
Because, yeah, you know, if items...
There were those items like... Sorry, we have a crappy latency here. But items like... what were they? Helmets and things? Because you always used to lose Barrow's helmets on death. And so they used to be really expensive. It will be interesting to see what happens to their prices. They should normalize a bit. And
yeah,
just
like
generally other expensive items, I suppose.
I don't know. Do you think it's a good thing to have? Or is it going too far, once again, trying to appease the players?
I'm really not sure. That's kind of what I was thinking about. Thinking
like,
out
when
loud.
When I first read this in the behind the scenes, my mind said, what the hell? What's this going to be about? You know, why is this happening now, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too.
So, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. I think it's cool. It's an update that should have come a long time ago.
I think if it would have came like when RS2 was just getting started, or even when HD came out and they were trying to make the game more appealing to new players, you know, through maybe like the back when they were in that mode, that might have been a good time to bring it in. But I don't know about now. I don't know if the current demo of the game is appreciative of this kind of thing or not.
Yeah, exactly. I think more tactful timing.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
otherwise,
just imagine if you and I were working there. Would you have thought of bringing something like this in?
I would have ages ago. But, you know, I mean, it's sort of something like I would have thought this had been tossed out of the window and just, you know, completely disregarded a long time ago, and it would never have come in. But apparently it has. On the other hand, though, I can see where they're coming from and why they would be doing it from a business kind of perspective. They, you know, they want to keep their players happy. That is their number one goal. And evidently they are managing that, because I think the fact that they brought the wilderness back proves that. And this is just kind of another one of those things.
Yeah, and, you know, they want to keep people playing the game, and this is probably one of the best ways of doing it, right? So,
yeah. You know, I think that sometimes about RSBNB, we should probably follow that same logic from time to time. Not all the time, but, you know, I think sometimes it is necessary.
Are you referring to something I'm thinking you're referring to?
I don't know. See, that I'm undecided about. So we'll see. We'll just see what happens.
Okay. Alrighty. Another thing they're using to keep their players is playing and encouraging them to play more is Club 99.
Club 99?
Yeah, Club 99 is going to be a kind of a support system for anybody who wants to get level 989 in a skill. So they're going to be introducing something called the Mentor Program. My thoughts exactly.
What?
Where those with a level 99 and a skill will give advice and support to those who have set their target as level 99 in that skill as well.
Moral support, because it's so difficult to get a 99 these days. So much grinding that you need someone standing by you.
Ask your brother what made him start getting 99s.
Probably in order to be in that 99 club. Actually, this is so ridiculous. Jagex know their player base too well nowadays.
Exactly. There will be an additional chat channel for each skill where you can ask questions of the mentors, as well as look for support from those that are already heading to 99.
Oh my gosh. You can tell this is going to be like an instant hit with the player base, because everyone's going to be doing this.
I'd be happy to sign up for a farming mentor, but I don't know if I want to give my advice to randoms, you know? I'm fine with giving it to you people who are listening to this show, but I don't know about any random person in RuneScape.
Yeah, I think you would get a bit tired of it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. They're also releasing a forum specifically aimed at those trying to get level 99, where the mentors will be able to offer advice, post guides, or just tell you to stop slacking and get that farm run done before you have to log off.
Does it literally say that, or are you just...
No, it literally says that.
Oh, it does. It does. I'm reading it right now. Oh, my God. Wow. Good on them.
That's a good tip about farming. Just do it.
Yeah. Mod Matt K. We'll have to remember that one.
And they also want to say that you can join a good skilling clan, so we're promoting clans again.
Nice.
And they're going to have a Hall of Fame of skillers for the best skillers in the game.
Another farming joke. Help them get the cream of the crop. Mod Matt K. You legend.
Maybe this is the problem with farming. Maybe this is related to help people get farming in general.
What? Why? Because they can't...
No, because all the references have been related to to farming, and the majority of the Irish population does not know how to farm.
Oh, right. Okay.
And also the Hall of Fame, in which anybody who has 10 level 99 skills, you will get your name immortalized in RuneScape history.
Oh, dear.
I only need 3 more.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that's exactly what has been going on here in this thing. So, I don't know. It kind of makes me laugh, but...
Yeah, it does a bit. It's sad, but, like, it's really smart from Jagex's perspective.
I wish they'd just hire a UI expert.
Yeah, for God's sake.
Like, that would make me much happier if they would just take some of this, just take a 2 or 3 developers and put them on UI, or at least bring someone in for that, you know? It's like,
I know.
Oh, it would make the game so much more enjoyable.
Don't worry.
Like, the clan system, it's and this switch between modal and windows that are inside the little pane at the bottom, that just annoys me.
Anyway, we've been there before. We should probably move on.
Yes, guaranteed content polls. 2 and 3, parts 2 and 3. So this is the sequel to part 1, in which they listed the boss rematch ones, and the surprising winner was none of the above. So moving on the same note, part 2 contained higher level monsters around the 80s to or 70s to low 100s, and in here is Elvarg, which won hands down at 43% of the vote. So that is the most decisive poll so far on this thing. So Elvarg, 21,905 votes. People want to play Elvarg again. So, and the second one, part 3 for this week, is once again none of the above. So, followed by Bando's Avatar. So, you know, I really think Jagex should not have put none of the above on this poll, because...
Yeah, because it's for people like me who just want to get straight to the answers, have to vote none to the hand.
But who... Like, these quest monsters are not memorable. Maybe the desert treasure ones are, but you can't select all 4. If you're going to fight the desert treasure ones, you should fight all 4 of them.
Yeah.
Did you die in that quest?
No. I found that quest really easy, but I did it at a very high level.
Okay. Pika died when we did it.
Ooh.
And he was higher level than me.
It didn't seem that difficult.
No, it wasn't in retrospect when you compare it to things like Nomad and whatnot. So, you know, we still don't know what this poll is for, but I'm wondering if this project is even going to go ahead since 2 of 3 so far are none of the above.
But it still does give a general idea.
Oh, you remember the ones from...
By the way.
You remember the ones from Fairy Tail Part 3 that I said were really hard but were really easy? Those don't have any votes.
Which ones were they? Oh, right, I see. Wow. 0%.
Obviously, people don't like farming.
Well, I don't think it's a problem with farming. It's just that quest was a bit plain.
Yeah, you know, I find the best quests are the memorable ones.
Yeah.
And if a quest isn't memorable, really, what's the point in going back to fight the bosses? So,
yeah.
That's the way I vote. I just go through the list. Do any of these names stick out for me? And if so, what was the battle worth it? And that's how I go from there. If not, the answer goes to none of the above. That's why I put Elvarg for that one. So,
ooh, fight arena quest. That would be cool to revisit. Bouncer.
Oh, yeah. I think I almost died on that one.
I think I did die on that. But I did that a lot.
What was that quest even about?
I did it in RuneScape Classic, I think.
Okay. That area existed in Classic?
So I was allowed to die. Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see the members' world in RS Classic. I should go have a look at that. Oh, yeah. Official difficulty experienced. The prosperous, servile family have been abducted by the infamous General Khazard. He plans to have the family battle for his entertainment in the fight arena. Can you rescue the serviles before the tyrant has these innocent, not to mention wealthy civilians slain? Developed by Paul, converted by Ian Gower.
Good times.
Yeah, the good old days, eh?
Yep.
You got 2 quest points, 1,000 coins, 12,000 attack XP, and 2.1k thieving XP.
Yep. Anyway.
Yes, enough about boss monsters and stuff like that. Jagex wins Queen's Award for Enterprise. So basically, this is an award given out by the British government in the name of the Queen, which signals excellence in British businesses. They won in the innovation category for the continuous development, innovation, and success of RuneScape. So that's another award on their wall of fame.
That's good.
Do you know what St. George's Day is? Apparently that's that's an English holiday, I think.
I'd never heard of it before.
Okay.
I know of a
school. Just had to check on that. Okay. Yeah, England does celebrate that. So that would explain why they mentioned St. George this weekend.
Oh, okay.
But I think that is it for RS updates this week. At least anything that is timely and will change the way you play this game. I don't know if this update will change the way you play your game, but I mean the award will change.
We shall find out.
Yeah, but I figured we should just give Jagex a mention about this award, you know, just in case they're listening, right?
Yeah, of course.
Alrighty. With that being said, we are going to move on to the questions right now. We got 5 audio questions this week. Thank you.
That's a pretty decent haul.
Yes, it is. One shy of the record, which was 6, I believe. Alrighty, the first audio question is from a fellow named Ross.
Dear Shane and Brad, do you two have any amusing names for your wireless network's SSID? Mine is personally Meow, and I've found some of my neighbors to name as Woof, Hoot, and Tweet. Thanks. Love, Ross.
What's yours called?
Well, it's just my last name and then the word home, so it's fairly generic.
Oh, you're pretty much as boring as I am. Yeah, that's all mine is too. Our wireless network SSID is just our last name, Christensen. I called it that. And at my hall, my university one, I have my own little Wi-Fi router, and my SSID of that is my room number. But my room number is the name of a video codec, which makes it super nerdy awesome.
Oh,
which is the only reason I call it that. X264? Yeah. See? See? Oh, it's funny when you know what it means.
Oh, that's great. Oh, right. X Block.
Yeah. Yeah. X Express. but yeah, that's really all. I have had some more interesting ones, though. I named the... Actually, it wasn't me. I can't take the credit for this, to be honest. One of my friends, we were actually there at the time setting up my friend's router for him. And while he wasn't in the room, of course, he was just leaving me to it. Me and the other guy were there. So I was thinking, oh, what should I name his router? And so my friend said that we should name it the Simpsons Brothel, which is their last name. So we did, and it has remained that since then.
You see these people driving by, and they wonder where this wireless network is coming from, and name that.
Yep. Damn right I named that.
Any idea if his parents questioned that? Or?
I don't know. I think his dad probably knows about it, but he's pretty funny. that's probably all the amusement I've had, though. No, I like your names, by the way. Meow. I might call myself that now. Because no one really gets the joke, X264.
But that's all the better. I'm sure you have a few people who do.
Not really. There's only like one guy who does computer science in my block, so...
Boring.
Well, two. But...
Boring people.
Yep. Very.
Okay, well, that was a good laugh. Thank you, Ross, for that.
Well, meow. I'm still going to do that.
That's nice. Yeah. That. Woof.
Wouldn't that be funny, just seeing meow come up as a wireless network?
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
I love it.
I should change mine to something more interesting.
Brothel.
Not that.
Not quite, no. Anyway. Thank you, Ross.
Alrighty, next one is from Uncle Dano.
Hello, Shane and Chief Snake. Uncle Dano here. I'm attempting to get 9 consecutive skill capes all together, one right after the other. These are mining, smithing, woodcutting, fletching, construction, fire making, crafting, cooking, and magic. I'm working all these skills in concert with one another, a method I call integrated skill training. I'm a true do-it-yourselfer and do not favor buying my skills. In the announcement this week regarding Club 99, Jagex stated that if you are pro enough to get to level 99 in 10 skills, you will make it into the Hall of Fame and be immortalized in RuneScape history. Now, I just cannot pass up the opportunity to add this to my original plan of achieving consecutive 99s. Hence, I need one more skill to add to my list. Please have a look at my stats and provide any suggestions on which one you think it should be. Thank you so much for your advice, and as always, I wish you Godspeed and another fine day in the scape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.
Bear with me as I look Uncle Dano up.
Oh, my high scores look up broke. They changed their role.
Yeah, exactly.
On that.
Mine broke too.
Like, gotta update that.
I have to do it the manual way.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way. Bear with us here.
All right. That's right. Okay.
Alrighty, Uncle Dano.
So what was it? He had 9, and he wants us to pick one more?
Yes, that's right. And I got the list here for us.
Oh, good.
So let me just...
At least one of us is prepared.
Yep. It's called using the utilities of Gmail, so... Here we go. He is going to get mining, smithing, woodcutting, fletching, construction, fire making, crafting, cooking, and magic.
Okay, I think I vaguely followed that.
I'm tempted to say farming just because farming's such a nice skill to have.
Well,
if you get farming, you'll get me at your party for sure.
I mean, it's going to take him a while to manage all of the rest of them together. So farming would be doable.
It could take a nice leisurely pace and do it with very little profit loss, just like you did.
That's right. I mean, he wouldn't need to really do herbs as much. Well, I mean, he would only need to do as many herbs as it would take to, you know, to make back the losses of trees.
Yeah,
which is not terribly difficult.
That
would be fully doable. However, if he's not into farming, if he's not into that idea.
If he's not into farming, I'm going to say fishing.
Oh, was fishing not one of them? Okay, then.
No, it's not, and it's currently level 90, so.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Does he have sort of a method of training at the moment? Because it's integrated skilling. I assume that that means they are all kind of working together.
Well, you could integrate fishing or farming either way, because you're going to get nests while you're woodcutting. That's for sure. And you could use the fish you get from fishing to go for cooking as well. So,
yeah, but he's already 97 cooking. I mean, that's not too much of a stretch.
I'm going to go with farming.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm going to go with farming too. Farming is literally the easiest. I'm not even lying. It just is. Herblore would be too expensive.
But that would be fun as well. But, you know, herblore and farming go pretty well together too. So if you wanted to, you could farm herbs for that to offset the price. But that would take a long time, and then you'd end up with 11.99 instead of 10.
It's getting pretty.
Mining, smithing, woodcutting, fletching, construction, fire making, crafting, cooking, magic.
Okay. Maybe it would be easier to say, what's left? Dungeoneering, summoning, hunter, runecrafting.
Oh, runecrafting, but
slayer,
really
thieving, agility. There's actually heaps left. Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with my farming. So,
mining, smithing, woodcutting, fletching, construction, farm, making, crafting, cooking, and magic. So basically, oh, okay. I see. Thieving is another easy one. If you are just looking to... No, good. I'm right. He's not doing that. Yeah. Thieving would be easy. It probably doesn't integrate very well because you would have to go all the way out to the pyramid. But, you know, it's quick.
Yeah, find some pyramids.
And, yeah, if you're looking to just, you know, reach that 10th 99, it would be a good, easy choice. Yeah, I would actually say thieving.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm going to go with farming then.
Yeah. If you don't mind...
Some diversity.
Yeah. If you don't mind waiting a little longer than farming, but otherwise, thieving will be nice and easy after doing all of that grinding. I mean, thieving is grinding too, but it doesn't feel as bad for some reason.
Oh, really? It felt horrible to me when I did it. That was just to 81.
I don't know. It's really all personal opinion. Try thieving, but yeah. Thieving or farming.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Thank you, Uncle Dano, for that question. The next one is from Papro.
Shane, if any Star Trek episode were to be turned into a RuneScape quest, which one would it be and why? Thanks and keep up the great work.
He sounded kind of sleepy there.
Oh, I know someone who has on our little hub thing at the university. Someone has like every Star Trek episode.
You should grab them. A perfect opportunity.
I was momentarily excited, and then I thought, no, I'm never going to watch this. Ever.
But you thought of me, right?
Yep.
Good.
Anyway.
Oh. Yes. When I previewed this question earlier, the first episode that came to mind was an episode of Next Generation entitled Timescape. Now, this is an episode at the tail end of Season 6, and basically the whole idea is that there are these aliens who mistook this Romulan warp core as a quantum singularity, which they use as a nest for their youth. And now, by using the Romulans' warp core as their nest for the youth, they caused a temporal event that shattered space throughout the region in which time moved at different speeds. Some regions it moved faster, some regions it moved slower. Now, how does this tie into RuneScape? You could tie this into RuneScape by bringing time runes into the equation and then use some kind of device you could make, maybe some extension of Ava's device, and then use your time runes with that to restore time flow to the normal speed in all these different regions around RuneScape. That would be my Star Trek-inspired RuneScape quest.
That's good. Very good, Shane.
Yes. You like how I came up with it like that?
That was pretty impressive. Especially since we actually hadn't listened to these audio questions previously. Neither of us. So well done.
Alrighty. Next question is from Earth.
Brace yourselves.
Dearest Shane and Chief, as you may know, April 22nd is Earth Day. Since I am Earth, I was wondering if you were doing anything for Earth Day, and if you even care about the Earth. Such a conservative Shane. Love your Earth.
Sorry, dying. Yeah. I'm good.
Okay.
I didn't realize that April 22nd was Earth Day.
Yeah, neither did I.
I've done nothing so far. Yeah, does that make me a horrible person?
No, it doesn't, because I think Earth Day is something that's celebrated by people named Earth and people who vote for the Green Party in their respective country. So I really can't say that it occurred to me. No, I don't think there's anything to do. Yes, I agree you shouldn't be careless and everything, but there's no real reason to enact policies to, quote, save the Earth or stop global warming or something like that, because you know it's natural cycles, and there have been points in Earth's past when it's been warmer than this. So you know I'm really not too concerned about Earth Day and putting out a front to stop climate change, especially on Earth Day. Like, when there's Earth Hour, I usually, to save power, I usually turn the Christmas lights on outside.
To save power.
Well, yeah, you know, there's Earth Hour in March. You're supposed to turn off your lights to save power as a symbolic gesture to the Earth. But normally what I do in that hour is I turn the Christmas lights on. And it's a rather funny story. The Edmonton Power Grid reported that 0.1% more power was used during Earth Hour than a normal hour. So,
good on them, I guess. But I still a bit sad though. Bah humbug.
I think Chief would
it's just
support
a,
Earth
it's
Day.
Just a nice gesture.
I think you'd support.
I would support it if I knew about it and if there was anything to do. I mean, I don't go out of my way to do anything really. And
I get that
Friday,
impression of all so. You. Of all nothing you New Zealand people, because it's like you have to preserve your...
we don't go out of our way to do anything.
I get the impression that you want to do that, because you only got these two little islands that are smaller than my province of Alberta.
Oh, well, yeah. We're all generally very conscientious, earth-loving people. I mean, we would, if anything needed to be done, I'm sure.
Yeah, like where would you go if one of your islands got contaminated or something, or the ozone hole got too big?
See, Shane, that's why we're against things like nuclear energy.
And this was our topic of discussion after the Japan reactor started to melt down.
Oh, that's true. I guess I missed that.
No. Remember you and I talked about this?
Oh, no, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, we did. Why New Zealand doesn't have nuclear power, so. But, yeah, I don't know. I wonder if Earth You know, Earth, it's too bad your birthday wasn't on Earth Day. I wonder when his birthday is. I should look that up.
Never
go to my little secret area, but yes. Thank you, Earth. I will be playing.
You can do that. I don't think the rest of the people need to know.
I will play Brian's question.
Sup, Shane? Are you watching Global National for all your federal election coverage? Decision Canada. CBC is where it's at, yo. And Chiefles. Hey. How you doing? No. Save that for the end. Thank you, Brad. You've been a great listener. You the man. Peace. Brian.
Hear that? You the man.
Thank you. I think.
Yeah, so. I don't know, maybe you're supposed to give some kind of response, like, I don't know what the word is for that, but how, your New Zealand slang or something with that.
What?
Give some kind of response to Brian about that?
But he said leave it to the end.
Oh, okay. Well, aren't you supposed to respond to you demand with something?
What?
Aren't you supposed to respond to you demand with something, like sup, or I don't know?
What? Never mind, Shane. You go answer your part of the question, which I've forgotten already. Oh, something about coverage of stuff.
Yeah, coverage of the election here, Global National. Yeah, I am. I view them as the least biased, in my opinion. Most biased being CBC, as who you're watching, and somewhere in the middle, CTV. Because if there was a whole controversy about a website the CBC had entitled Vote Compass, I think I showed that to you, Chief, about you answer some questions about this, and it tells you what your who you should vote for. Or who your views most align with in terms of parties. And the whole thing about this was, if you entered random answers, or you said, I agree, I disagree, alternating, or you just said, I don't care about either of them, it would put you in the camp with the Liberals. And that really, you know, it's slanted towards the Liberals in that way, rather than the other parties, the NDP and Conservatives as well. And it has the NDP and Green Party a little too close on the spectrum for my liking as well. So if you take this aspect of CBC, and also if you watch some of the interviews as well on CBC, you know, it kind of just gives a too biased view, in my opinion. So that's why Global for me.
Right.
But in saying that, we have Global, CTV, and CBC here for national networks. I don't know what you guys have in New Zealand for national networks. Just one, or?
What do you mean? National networks?
Like TV networks?
Are these like channels? Or?
Yeah, people who do news in New Zealand, like TV channels for news.
Oh, okay, we don't have like 24/7 news channels, if that is what you mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just have like wondering. You know, the evening news, late night news, morning news, and lunch news. That's about
but how
it.
Many companies do it?
Three. Okay. No, we have TV1, TV3, and Prime. I think
that's all I was asking. How many networks?
All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
We might have a couple of satellite ones as well. But yeah,
actually,
yeah,
Brian, there was a launch of the new news network this week in Canada, Sun TV News. It's on Shaw Channel 177 if you have the digital cable box. I'd recommend taking a look at that. People say it's supposed to be like Fox News, but it's really not. Fox News is a whole lot worse, so don't believe any of that stuff you hear about it being our version of Fox News. It's not.
Oh, well. Good that we're clear about that.
Yeah, And you know, if you're not from Canada, you won't get that. If you don't have TV with Shaw or Rogers, you won't get that as well. So, okay. Anyways, thank you, Brian. On to the text questions right now. Chiefikins, question from Lord Passchendaele, please.
Lord Passchendaele, okay. Lord Passchendaele had a few questions, but I believe we have picked three of them.
Yeah, were eight. I picked and chose.
Yeah, we can't really answer that many. But thank you for your effort. What is the farthest you've been away from home? I suppose, technically speaking, I have been to a place called Dunedin, which is near the bottom of the South Island of New Zealand. But that was when I was like five. I went there for a wedding. And that wasn't like away from my family, because they were with me. I've also been... I suppose away from my family is kind of now. Not right now, but you know, now that I'm at university, I'm away from them for very long periods of time. And that's about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours away from my hometown. By car, which is... Yeah. But that's fine. And in June, I'm going to France. So that will be the farthest I will have been.
But you're not going by yourself from...
But no, I'm going with my dad. That'll be a bit of a change. For someone who's lived in the same country and never been overseas for 18 years, yeah, that should be fun.
Well, technically I haven't been overseas either. I've just been to the US. I haven't gone east yet.
At least you've been to another country. I mean, come on.
It's the US. It's practically the same thing. It doesn't count in my books. I don't want to go there. Nothing against you, America, but I just don't like going to the US.
Right.
So that would have to be the furthest away. Seattle, which is about 13, 14 hours by car if you were to drive straight. But you split up over 2 days, so 11 hours one day, 3 hours the next day. And then...
Yes, yeah, that's just unheard of over here.
Like, that's what I said. You could basically drive from the bottom of the country to the top of the country in one day. Because it's, what,
yeah.
6
I mean,
hours
for you,
from
you
Wellington
could.
To Auckland,
we
right?
We just couldn't do that, but... It's probably more like 8, I think.
Okay, well, still, it's not that bad. That's one day.
You go directly or not? Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
But we wouldn't do that, you see. See, for us, that would just be stupid. We would get a flight from Wellington to Auckland.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I would think most people would anyway.
Okay. Alrighty then. But I have a huge list of places I want to get to one day. Mostly in Europe, Australia, New Zealand. That's probably about it. Mostly in Europe, actually. So, that'll be one day. Next one?
Come to France with me. Oh, right. Sorry, there are heaps to get through. Don't worry. Another time. The next question is Camtasia... What? Is Camtasia a good software to use for making screen and audio recordings? I need more vids for my channel. Yes, Camtasia is good. That's what I use on Windows. I'm sorry, what? How did you... Okay, never mind. Camtasia is good software, yes. Unless you are speaking about RuneScape, in which case... Fraps is the best.
Yeah, if you're doing any kind of capturing of any kind of gaming or anything, you definitely want to use Fraps. It has an uncompressed option that uses tons of hard drive space, but it's worth it in the end because you get this crystal clear video of what you're capturing. So,
that's right. And there's no lag.
Yeah.
Well,
so
minimal lag.
Yeah, there's no lag because there's no compression.
Yeah. Whereas
Camtasia. If you're looking for screen, like, demoing and Fraps otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. I think the thing with Fraps is Fraps is only for games, whereas Camtasia is the whole desktop recorder. So
well,
yeah, it
depends. In Windows 7, you can enable Fraps to capture the Windows desktop because, you know, the desktop is 3D.
Oh,
rendered.
You can, can't you? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you can.
But, yeah, it's
but
limiting.
Camtasia is probably better if that's what you're looking for.
Yep. So yes, you're right. Go with Camtasia. Next question. I'm looking to buy a good headset for recording screen and audio vids and for Skype for under $50. Any suggestions? Preferably ones that work easily and well with Macs. Well, funnily enough, my Logitech ClearChat Comfort, I think that's what it's called, thingy, works fine with Macs, as I'm demonstrating right now. I'd never had to install anything, just plugged in, and it worked. So I would probably recommend that. I think it cost me like 60 New Zealand dollars, so it will be under that in US. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's a little bit uncomfortable. I think the name is misleading. Comfort.
Yeah,
right.
It is. Also, they're very flimsy, I've found.
Flimsy? I don't like the cord. The fact that it comes off one side of it, I think it's pretty crap. But
yeah, and does yours have the mute button in it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really annoying. That's really annoying.
Well, I find it handy. It's my cough button.
One night ago, talking to you on Skype, and I ended up pressing the. I ended up pressing the mute button.
Oh.
So.
See.
I was wondering why there was no response, but yes, the mute button's been pressed.
I guess that would be annoying, but I'm used to it now. I've been podcasting with this headset for a long time. Therefore.
It's a perfectly good microphone. You just have to take care of it. I find over time they tend to break, like the headset thing in mine, or the microphone thing in mine, doesn't stay in the place
to
stay in. It's either too high or too low.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Mine's lasted me this long. To be honest, I wouldn't mind if it broke, so I would have an excuse to get a more comfortable one. But on the other hand, like, it's probably the best audio quality I could ask for something in this price range. So I don't really mind the discomfort.
But you know what? You know what? If this guy, he has a Mac, you know, if it's a modern Mac, the built-in microphones, I think, would be fine for just voiceover stuff.
Oh, yeah,
because,
that's true.
You know, between now and when you're just using the built-in mic, I really can't tell much difference.
Which is pretty sad, actually.
But
so that's a
the
good
only
thing.
Difference is less background noise with this. So,
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, Logitech ClearChat. Just make sure it's USB, otherwise it won't work with OS X, because that's a line in, not a mic port you got.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true.
What else is there to say? There's one that Mike has. I forget what his model is, but if you're looking for something lighter, I think it's more of a gaming one. You could probably...
terrible joke.
I'm sure he's got that
sounded
before.
Forced. Anyway.
Anyways.
I think that yes
covers that.
He says, thanks again Fast Wesley. I don't get all these different names. Fast Wesley, Lord Passchendaele.
Well, I when I write question from, I use the forum name. So.
Anyway.
Anyways, this next one is from Jay Meissany. I hope I have said that right. Dear Chief and Shane, now that it's been almost since 3 months since the free trade has returned, I'd like to hear your thoughts about the impact on RuneScape's economy. Some items, especially rares, seem to have skyrocketed in price. One reason might be that the people are no longer limited by having to trade junk for high-priced items, so the price has risen. I'm confused by the crashing items like whips, which have plummeted from 4 million to 1 million. What is the explanation for this? Could it be that PKing has caused so many of these items to be obtained from players that the market is flooded with them? That seems unlikely to me, but what is your opinion? Also, have you found that, as Shane suspected, a secondary economy has been created outside the GE, which has created a different set of prices? Thank you for your thoughts, Jamai Sini. Any thoughts? Oh no, did you pull the plug again?
No, I'm still here. Sorry, I just forgot to unmute myself right then. But, oh no, I was just as we were talking this. No, I just had a question. Sorry, what did I miss?
The question.
Oh, the question. That's a bad thing to miss. What was the question after all of that?
I'll edit this.
I got it. Got it. Okay, so.
Okay. What do you think?
Okay. I don't know. I don't think the economy has changed terribly much, actually. I think it had surprisingly little effect overall. I guess that's part of the second part of the question. A second economy?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I was initially worried about that, but I'm not seeing it so far. So the GE is responding nicely to the rare items and whatnot, so I am happy with that. People are using the GE what it's intended for. So, yes,
yeah.
It's good.
See, I think that's what I expected. See, didn't I predict that? That you would be
Yeah,
wrong?
You were trying to calm all my fears and everything, and you were right. You were right. So,
always right. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, that's cool. Otherwise, though,
whip
I'm not really sure. Whips were $1 million at one point, so, you know,
yeah,
it's not.
They're apparently back to that.
I didn't realize that they were, but interesting. I guess it makes sense since things like the Bandus Gold Sword is $7 million or something now. Ridiculously low.
It doesn't, like, the rate of which these items come into the game will have more effect than if these things are getting killed off in terms of are getting their supply constrained by people PKing in the wilderness. Because we got to remember that things like the Bandos God Sword, which have also gone down, are not necessarily correlated to the same way as a common PKing item would be. So we can't say that this is all from PKing because everything has gone down like that. And the whip even started going down before this free trade update happened. So it's the God Swords. It's also the shields, which Eric had another question about, which I didn't put in because we already had this question on the economy posted beforehand. So I figured we'd kill two birds with one stone here. I don't know what it could be. Divine Shield, like those ones that are 800 million now, which is relatively low compared to what they had been, over a billion. So, let's see.
Yeah.
So,
well, I have no idea.
You know, I think this just goes with the cycle that as the summer gets closer, these items, people are going to start playing more, especially slaying and whatnot. So these items are going to come back more are going to be brought into the game more. And, you know, when you think about the boss hunting Bandos, the traditional God Swords, they're really not that special anymore. When you look at other items that are out, like the special items now to have for high-level combat are the dungeoneering-based ones. So it's like there's not as much emphasis on the God Swords, and it's just God Wars is just a people thing to do on the side. So,
you know, that could be right, actually, with dungeoneering. I hadn't really considered that. Those are the items to get these days.
Yeah, so.
And, yeah, I guess, you know, everyone who needs them kind of has things like the God Sword.
Exactly, and that's also why they'll go down.
Because people,
if you remember last year and the year before, people always, the item to want was always a God Sword, right?
Yeah.
And with the game can produce more God Swords faster than it can produce more people playing. So it just makes sense that the demand is going to get fulfilled and it's going to go down because of that. And same goes for whips, you know? Anyways, I think that's really what we can say here about this one. I'm not sure there's much else to say unless we were to look at the trends for each item and whatnot. So,
no, let's really not bother with that.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you. Next question is from Bonsai99. Dear Shane and Chief Snake, what would your reaction be if someone from RSBNB showed up at your door? Thanks for answering my question, Bonsai. Good question. That would depend on who it was, I guess. I could kind of... If it was you, I wouldn't be terribly surprised. I could imagine you doing that anyway. Creep. I could also,
yeah, I'd at least ask before I came, you know?
I'm sure you would. I could also imagine someone like Leo showing up just because, you know, he's in New Zealand.
That'd be interesting.
And I've been past his school before. I can actually say that now. So I'm just as creepy
as you
are.
He's going to think that's really creepy.
Yeah. I don't think he'll really care. You know, New Zealand, we're just one big, happy family.
That's what it seems like.
As it should. Yeah, if it were anyone else, I'd be a bit worried. Like, what? I'm running away now.
Alrighty.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't let them in.
Okay. It would depend who it was. If it was somebody I knew and had talked to before, it would depend, like, whether it was you, for example, or if it was Earth, or if it was somebody we had banned. That would be the three different levels of welcoming, you know, or if it was just someone who I knew was from RSBNB, but I didn't exactly know who they are and whatnot, you know, it would be different reactions like that. Like, for example, you'd be invited to come in, have dinner, and spend the night.
Yay!
Same goes for pretty much anybody else on the staff, except maybe Trekkie.
Okay. Poor Trekkie.
And people like Earth would just get a nice tour of the center of creation and whatnot like that, and everybody else would just get like a autograph or something.
People like Earth.
Well, I mean, people I know, but I know, and people who are semi decent, and what did I just call Earth semi decent? I guess I did. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, I think yeah, they get the idea.
Yeah. I'd have to know who you were and have talked to you before to even get the door to be opened, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Come and get our autographs. We don't mind. But nothing more.
Alrighty. Last one.
Alright, last question is from The Jurman. Hello, Shane, and everyone's favorite co-host. That's ambiguous. I have a quick question this week, as well as some news from the life of a hardly bilingual. First off, I have just bought the North American channel on my television, and it shows Canadian hockey often. Which team should I support? As Germans cannot play hockey, we all fall down. And also, I would just like to say that the RSBNB Update Clan Chat is very respectable to my lack of English. I work hard on these questions and take about 30 minutes making sure I have good grammar and spelling. And I appreciate that RSBNB has such a mature audience. I am not even going to try and pronounce that German because I will make a total fool of myself.
Ich liebe Schlauch.
Oh, that was impressive. No, but it can't be Schlauch because it hasn't the L after the
Schlauch.
Schlauch.
Schlauch. Oops, yeah.
Schlauch. I don't know. I tried. There you go. But that's from the German.
It's not S. It's Ich liebe Schlauch.
Schlauch.
I think that would be good. Yes.
Oh, well. Since you tried your best with English, there we go. There's my German for you.
Good practice, too.
Which is total rubbish. That was very good English, by the way. Congratulations. I think you speak a lot better English than most of us. contributors.
Like, reading your previous question, I had nothing in my mind said, oh, this person doesn't understand English.
Yeah, yeah, actually, while I was beginning it, I thought, oh,
that I see,
the name must,
you know,
just be a joke, the German man.
There are people anyway, I see that have worse English than this.
I think this is mainly
Chief, would you fall down if you decided to go play hockey or something?
If it were ice hockey, I probably would, yes. Because I never ice skated before.
Oh, you guys are so deprived, everybody, you know?
I'm sorry, like we don't have ice rinks.
People here build them in their backyard.
Yes, well, it doesn't even snow here.
I know. Well, we still got snow in our front yard, and it's April 22nd.
I roller skate. I enjoy rollerblading and playing roller hockey. I haven't done that in a while.
Okay, it's kind of the same thing, except on ice. You just can't stop as easy.
Okay.
You ever had any accidents?
No. Never.
That's good. But which team you should support going into the playoffs? You should definitely support the Vancouver Canucks. The only other team currently in the playoffs is the Montreal Canadiens, and they're from Quebec, and I don't like them. I don't like the team.
Are you saying you're disrespectful of multilingual participants?
Oh no, not at all. I think everybody in Canada should be multilingual. You know, I think everybody should be required to take French until grade 12. You know, that's one thing I wish I would have actually continued doing.
Yeah, if you're going to make statements like that, then... Anyway...
A combination of you taking French and the fact that...
I was just kidding.
We have two official languages here. You know, I think everybody should take it at least through regular school, but... Yeah, Vancouver Canucks I would go with, even in the regular season, because Edmonton doesn't have much of a team. They're rather despicable, and Calgary, and then going east, you got Ottawa and Toronto and Montreal, and, you know, being from Western Canada, I'm more likely to support a Western team, so I have to say you would want to support the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay, we'll go with that.
And there are, we only have 6 teams here in Canada, and there are 30 teams total in the NHL. And they're from the U.S., which is weird, considering hockey is considered to be the Canadian thing. So, you know, we might be getting 2 more teams in the future, team moving back to Winnipeg and a team moving back to Quebec City, because... Both those cities used to have teams, but they don't anymore. And the Winnipeg team is underperforming where they are right now, so they might get brought back to Winnipeg. So we might have another Canadian team. But that is all. You know, hockey's like a national thing here. I don't know. What's your like national thing in New Zealand you guys gather around TVs to watch and stuff if your country is competing?
Rugby.
Soccer? Okay, rugby.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. No, well, that wraps up questions. Didn't you guys make it far in the World Cup or something?
That was pure luck. Pure luck. And, yeah, that was pretty funny. They made a big deal out of that because I think we were the only team to not lose a match or something like that. We were the only undefeated team. I think that was because we drew a couple of games. But yeah, we suck, our teams. It was just pure, pure luck.
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, if you want to send us a question, you guys can head on over to the forums at rsbnb.com/forums and post your questions there. The question topics are usually put up by... Monday, late Monday at the latest. And if you want to send us an audio question, those can go to questions@rsbnb.com. Email the file to us. And if you want to phone the question, and if you don't have a microphone, you can use your phone if you're in the U.S. or you have an international calling plan. It will cost you. And the number that number is?
571-572-2632.
Very good. And what does that translate to?
571-572-BNB? No. Yes.
You got an extra 2 in there. It's just 571-57-BNB.
Yeah, close enough.
Yep, so it's just like those pizza places. They all have memorable numbers. Airbnb has their own memorable number.
Moderately memorable, yeah.
Alrighty, moving on to the tech news right now. Microsoft up first. They've launched Office 365 as a public beta. Now, for anybody who doesn't know what Office 365 is, it's Microsoft's cloud-type service for Office, launched in 38 countries and 17 languages. So you're writing something in Word, you publish it to Office 365, and it becomes available online for other people to view and edit. Just like Google Docs.
Hmm. Okay.
This isn't going to change that I use Google Docs because I don't use Microsoft Office. But I think for people that do use Microsoft Office, this is a good thing.
Okay. So
I didn't try it yet because it requires a whole different sign up or something. So.
Oh, but that would just be annoying. Yeah, see, yeah, that's why I'm kind of the same. I do everything through Google as well. I would hate to have to rely on a Microsoft product again.
Yeah. Hmm. It's even, like, you know, it would just be so nice if there was a Google Docs option in Microsoft Word, and you didn't have to use Office 365 if you wanted something in the cloud, right? Like,
that's
even
true.
If there's something in Pages on OS X that could do that, that would be very nice. But Microsoft and Apple aren't going to do that. Which is like the same kind of fragmentation we saw a long time ago with file formats.
Mm.
Remember when Doc was unreadable by anything but Word?
Yep.
So, you know, it's like I said, good for people that use Office. Other people can stick to Google Docs, which I think makes sense because the Google account is becoming a central hub of everything.
It is. Yeah, it is. That's what I find too. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, and they're moderately trustworthy, I think.
Yep. They do everything well.
So. Yeah, and it's kind of
like Apple, but
sleek.
Yeah.
Except more nerdy, not as user-focused,
yep.
I think.
Yep. And they give you more options most of the time, so yeah. However,
so that's
onto
Office
that.
365. Yeah, we're going to talk about Apple being trustworthy right now, actually. This is slightly concerning, kind of. Well, maybe. I don't know if it is. It's not something that any hacker could get access to, but apparently if you have an iPhone or an iPad with a 3G chip, anytime you use 3G, you have been tracked as to where you are in relation to some tracking reason for cell towers and geolocation because actually let's talk about a bit about the problem here first. So when you activate your 3G chip in your phone, it queries the cell towers around you, right?
Yeah.
So with this, it can use these cell towers to get a better fix on your position if you've got a bad GPS signal. That's the whole point to tracking here. And then this is used in the background behind the location data in iOS. Now, this exact tracking thing isn't available to people who write applications, but it is available in your iTunes sync when you sync your phone to your computer. So if you sync your iPhone or your iPad to your computer, you have this file that has all these locations of where you've been in it, and somebody has taken this and made a map of everywhere they've been over the past year based on this data. So that is slightly concerning. Apple hasn't issued an official statement about this, but you don't have to worry if you have an iPad that's Wi-Fi only or if you have an iPod Touch. Those products are exempt.
Oh, good. So I don't have either of those things.
Yeah. And you can easily remedy it by encrypting your backups that iTunes makes of your device in iTunes when you sync. That's the simplest fix to this. Encrypt your backups. But, you know, this is just like the whole Google Street View thing and them collecting Wi-Fi access point names as they roam along, right?
Yeah, I suppose it is. I mean, it's not really
it's
going
not
to make
it's not tied to your person or anything, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's just points of numbers. It's just points of numbers.
Yeah.
It's not sending them anywhere. I personally don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah, which is even weirder if it's not sending them anywhere.
It was just a nice little find, but I'm sure Apple will patch this up.
Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that kind of cool?
That it was found?
That it's even giving you these statistics. I mean, you can use them for your own benefit.
You can see where you've been.
It's
an interesting thing. I know, I'd like that. It's just like enabling web history on Google search. Do you use that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing.
I think I do, yes.
It's the same thing. So, you know, they could block this up, which they probably will, just to shut everyone up about it, but it's really not that bad.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're really that concerned about a string of numbers about where you've been that's just stored on your computer, you might as well encrypt your backup or encrypt your whole hard drive for that matter. So, I don't know. I think this is just the security experts doing what they usually do and raising a whole fuss about a whole lot of something, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, it says right at the bottom of the article, so is there anywhere you've been in the last year that you don't want anyone to know about? I mean, honestly, if you have to worry about things like that, it's a bit sad.
And it's not even accurate to the meter. It's just accurate to the cell tower most of the time.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. Just figured we put this out there. Encrypt your backup if you got an iPhone or a 3G iPad.
Which probably is a minority of people. So,
well, I know lots of kids who have iPhones.
Oh, God. They're expensive pieces of hardware. Twitter follows Facebook by hiding tweets.
Yeah. On Facebook, you know, you can hide people's statuses if they're being annoying or whatnot, right?
Oh, right.
Basically, this is going to be something for people who set a whole wall of tweets out. You're just going to be able to click this thing
and like Dave.
Hide the post and then... Dave?
Remember when Dave did... Oh, I don't know if it was you I was talking to about, but... Never mind.
Okay. Oh, right. Yes, right. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, just hide a tweet.
That certain person got a bit... Yeah.
Got their knickers in a knot. So, I don't know. I think this is a good thing, because have you ever had your Twitter following list of plagued by, like, one person?
Dave! But, oh, no. Not really. Dave's cool.
Okay. I don't think I follow him. But, they need to do this and, you know, figures they're copying from Facebook. Which makes sense. They should have the same feature sets because they both serve two different purposes. So, copying each other is not a bad thing in this area. So, I will definitely be looking forward to this and probably going to wait 6 months for the release when it makes its way into the Twitter for Mac client, because, as we all know, everything comes to the web interface first, right?
I suppose so. I never really saw much of a point in this, because even in Facebook, there's not a hell of a lot of purpose in hiding individual tweets. I mean, individual messages. Sorry, I'm so used to Twitter. Even
did
on Twitter as well.
Come back on the next load?
Oh. No, they probably wouldn't. But
okay.
Even then, I mean, the thing with Twitter is, and Facebook even, I think your feed kind of moves too quickly for it to make any difference. Kind of. You might hide it, but, you know, it'll just be replaced by things eventually. Who really cares? It probably takes more effort to hide it than it does to scroll over it.
And in the last hour, I have had 3 tweets in my Twitter stream. It goes really crazy during the day. So, but you know, they all have something different. It's something, like, I don't want to miss anything. So, I guess I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know if I would use this.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like you either follow someone or you don't.
Make up your mind. Yeah. Okay, so. That'll be that, if you use Twitter. And
ooh.
Please use Twitter, because I don't know. It's just a lot nicer, I find, from a... It's just so much simpler.
Hey, I just found...
Already?
I just found some impromptu tech news. ESET Nod 32 antivirus comes to Linux.
Oh, do you know why do you need antivirus? That?
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would need
it. I'm questioning why you would need an antivirus on Linux.
In a move that will both please and dismay users in equal measure, the world's most popular antivirus application, Nod 32, is now available on Linux. That's interesting.
You know, that's actually a good thing if you're running a mail server, because all the mail comes in as a file on your mail server. So if you're running a virus scanner, you can pick up these viruses and pluck them out of the email before you send them off.
Oh,
to
that's
your
true.
Users. That's the only reason I can think of to run a virus thing on Linux. But good find for all you Linux users out there. The two of you. You want to put that? Make sure that that link ends up in the notes.
Okay, I'll probably forget about it. But there you go.
Alrighty. Moving on to other things, including the Skill of the Month update for the Magic Skill of the Month. We're in pretty much the same position we were in last week. The Lion 777 is in first place with 5.2 million experience gained, comfortably ahead of numbers 2 and 3, with number 2, which is New Hero, at 4.5 million. And Banzai 99 at third place with 4.3 million experience. And those two are
but they're all
close,
pretty
so that's
close.
A battle for second. Yeah, it's a battle for
I
second,
think it's,
which is good.
It's probably it could still potentially be a battle for first, because I mean they were getting close. It's
oh yeah, there's still a week left in the month or so, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could if one of them stops, so okay.
Better
and then the race for the lower brackets has slowed down since earlier in the month. It's pretty constant if you were to head down, except for Chris T, who has made a jump from almost last week to made an impressive jump this week into position 5. So congratulations to you all. And still, there are people who have not got any experience yet. So one person, you should get some experience.
We know who you are.
Alrighty. Do you have a pick for us?
Nod 32. No. I don't know. I don't really have a pick. No. Do you have anything
okay.
off the top of your head?
Yeah, I did. I do. Because I figured you did one last time, so I'd do one this time.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
My pick is this. It's a Windows application, believe it or not. I was in the process of doing research for my article I did this week, virtual versus physical desktops. If you haven't used either before, you should definitely take a read through that at informer.rspmb.com. But anyways, the pick is a program for Windows called Dexpot. It is a virtual desktop solution for Windows. It has a moderately good user interface. It has nice 3D transitions and whatnot. I feel it closely imitates Spaces on OS X or whatever it's called on Linux. What's it called on Linux, the virtual desktop program thingy?
It's just Workspaces. It's part of Compass.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you use Windows and you're looking for virtual desktops, I would recommend this. It's a good application. It's friendly on resources too, which is always nice. So that's dexpot.de. You can set it up so it imitates Spaces on OS X pretty good in terms of getting an overview of all the windows and switching between windows and whatnot. So, and the effects are nice and customizable too. I'd say it's on the order of Compiz on Linux being customizable.
That's cool. I might have to try that. Do you know if you can invoke it with a mouse position, like, and you know, if you flick to the top right corner of the screen or something?
No, I don't. That's not a default practice of the application. That's not a default practice
of
the
how
application.
I use it.
Okay.
Linux and
OS. Yeah, you'd probably need another third-party application for that. See, this is the problem with Windows. Why doesn't Windows do these nice little things like that?
I know.
Linux has done it for years. OS X does it. Just do it. Have it be customizable.
Yep.
You know, like, God. It's just what pisses me off about Windows.
Anyway. In that case, we have the achievements of the week.
Achievement,
true.
We only got one. We got Miner Goo back again this week with 99 Smithing, who got 99 Mining last week. So congratulations to you.
Yay, very timely. Congratulations.
So. Yep.
Events.
RSBNB events are on the way. This show should be out on Friday. So if you're listening to this on Friday and you don't already know about the drop party, we are doing on Saturday. This is your cue to go to that. Information can be found in the notes at update.rsbnb.com. If you're listening after Saturday, don't bother with the drop party. Focus on our other two events this month, including Castle Wars Cubed, which is a nice little Castle Wars three-way competition, which you can gain some prizes after that. And an Easter egg hunt featuring your favorite staff members as Easter eggs.
Woo!
So that's what we're doing for events this month. And those two events at the end, CWC and Egg Hunt, the first one is run by Jeremy, and the second one is run by Schwa. And Mike and I are picking up this drop party. Because in April 2005, Mike and I did a drop party, so we decided we're going to do one again. And we weren't able to the years after because of the free trade thing. So now we can, so we're taking that up on the opportunity.
Good stuff.
Yes, so that's what we're planning this month. So now you can answer Brian's part of the question. What have you been doing, Brad?
Not that much. I'm back here in my hometown for a little while. Yeah,
which you were very excited about.
Which I was very excited about. I missed it. I missed it so much. I don't like the big smoke.
The big smoke?
Yeah. Well, relatively relatively big smoke. No, I like it.
What do you mean by smoke?
Oh, it's a figure of speech.
Oh, like big Smoky City. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, it's not very smoky, really.
Yeah, well, you know, you've always lived there, and it makes sense. So that was...
You're justifying it with always having lived here. That is part of it. So much more familiar. I love it.
Yeah, I would too. So that's good. Anything else?
Everyone else hates it. But I love it. That's probably about it. I haven't really done much. I'm here, I suppose. Otherwise, yep. What have you been up to? No. What have you been up to?
Okay. This week what has this week consisted of? You know, this week really has been just more coding in general and mining on RuneScape, which is really icky, I find. I don't like mining. But I'm going for 85 for some reason. I'm currently only level 82. So it's quite painful, even though you're doing it at the Living Rock Cavern. And it would be incredibly more painful if you were doing it the old-fashioned day. So I should probably just be quiet about it, right?
Oh, well, I always did tell you that mining was a bad idea, didn't I?
Yeah, I should have listened to you.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, I think I touched that anyway. Might not have.
Aside from that, smithing as well. Smithing the gold ore at mine to raise smithing as well. And coding, and that's about it. So, in respect of things. Oh, and following the Canadian election, too. Figured I'd throw that in as well. Because in a poll released today, the NDP, New Democratic Party, is ahead of the Liberals, tied for second place. So that's very interesting from a numbers point of view, because that means more vote splitting on that side, which means potential conservative majority government, which is what we're all aiming for here.
Oh, that's right. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, so I got my calendar set for May 2nd. That night's going to be like a sporting event for me. Watching the TV and watching the computer and whatnot stuff online. Did you know that it would be illegal for me to send out a tweet when I get the election results here? Because there are people in BC who are still voting. The province west of us.
Illegal?
Yeah, it's
That's
illegal to disclose
harsh.
Election results while other polls are open. Some guy got fined $7,000 in the 2004 election for posting election results before the polls had closed. So,
but
there's a bit of a
question
about whether or not that's actually going to be able to be enforced. You know, giving
I know
Facebook
I mean,
now. You know,
that's just silly. They can expect
like, how
to be able to
enforce something on Twitter. What about the Americans breaking this law for us, right?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. It's just a stupid law. You can't control that. The only way to control it would be make the polls close at a uniform time, which doesn't work in a country that has six time zones. Yeah, six time zones. You just have one.
Yep.
So.
It's the good life.
Yeah, sometimes I wish things were that simple here. But in any case, I think that wraps this episode of RSVMB Update.
So, it does indeed.
Do you have anything else?
Nope, that is everything. Good show.
Alrighty. I agree, that's been RSVMB Update 305 with Mr. Chief Snake.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
And myself. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye-bye.